Welcome to Gospel Mission Church's Message Podcast. We pray that God will meet you in this time with a fresh revelation of His love for you and that you will be challenged to align with the amazing plans that God has waiting for you. Here's this week's message from Pastor Claude.
One of the things that we need to remember, and what I'm going to share to you is probably something that you've heard before. And the first thought is the local church is more than a place we attend. The local church is more than the place we attend. I like to see the local church like a platoon. We are part of an army, and the army is local churches all over the land that follows orthodoxy, the Apostles' Creed, and walks according to the ways of God. And we are a platoon, part of the army of God that are, like I said, the multiple churches. And a platoon is a unit that has a mandate and a calling that functions together. And I believe that God has a mandate for Gospel Mission Church. I believe that God has a plan for us, and we live in this individualistic world where it's all about individuals, and I think that we lose track of the corporate, of us, and there's so much mention in the Bible of us, and we make it all me, and I think there's sometimes it's not balanced. For sure, there's this grace over me, but there's also this grace over us, and I'd like to unpack that this morning. I like to give the image, too, that we're like a symphony where different instruments harmonize to play the same melody together. It's like we play different instruments, but we play to the same song. And we're all doing it together, following the same notes. And it's not me playing my own instrument and playing my own song and you playing your own song and then coming together. If that would be the case, it would be chaos, right? And so the church, the local church, has a mandate, has a calling, and it's all of us coming together and playing our instrument or putting into motion our giftings and our arts, our hearts and our journey so that we would see the progression of God's kingdom. When we look at Jesus' mandate before he left, he met with his disciples after the resurrection, and he gave this great commission that you find in verse 18 of Matthew 28. It says, Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. He says, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And it says in verse 10, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age. He secured that by saying that I will be with you forever. As you do this, I'll walk with you. So you're not doing this alone. The call of the church, of the local church, is to make disciples. That's the call. This is why we're here. And if we look at in society right now, we look at where we are today. When we look at the funnel approach when it comes to the end times, things are moving faster all the time, right? You look on the political front, you look at the moral front, you look at every different, wherever you look, we realize that things are going faster. And so there's this mandate of the church to make disciples and to realize that the church is called to send and reach the nations more than ever. I think that the days that we live in should move us in the inside to respond to God's call. And I believe that the vessel that God has chosen to do that is the local churches. You know, sometimes we think that we can do life alone, but we can't. We can't do life alone. And when it comes to the Bible, there's no mention in Scripture of doing life alone. Sometimes I hear people to say, well, you know, especially, I'll give you this example. I used to live up north, Northern Ontario, and people would say, you know, my church is the bush. I go in the bush, and this is where that's my church. And I say, well, what you mean is it's a place where you connect with God or you feel God closer to you, but it's not your church. Because a church is not a service. A church is not a moment. A church is us coming together. And sometimes I hear also, well, you know, I do church at home. No, you don't. Because if you're at home watching right now, you're part of this, but you can't have church at home. You might have a service at home. You may have devotion with your kids at home. You might have a spiritual moment with your kids at home, but that's not church. So church, we know that it's not a building, right? And we know that church is not an event or a service. The church has services, but the services are not church. And sometimes we get that confused because the church is us. It's a unit, a platoon, a symphony, playing the same music, working according to the lead of the high shepherd that is Jesus. It's functioning together to fulfill the mandate that God has placed on us. That's why the church is there. And sometimes we've defined the church as a service, as a place I go to. No, it's who we are as a body, as a unit. Like I said in the first service, Gospel Mission Church is not God's belly button to say that he only works through here. He works through other bodies, and praise the Lord for diversity. But God has put a calling upon our lives, and it's important for us to understand that the church that we find in Scripture is a body functioning together, ministering to each other, going with alignment together to fulfill the great commission that God has given us. Can I hear an amen? So that's what we want to see. The church is a body. Like I said, it's not a building. Look what it says in Romans chapter 12, verse 5. So in Christ, we who are many form one body. Different units, one body. And each member belongs to all the others. So the members belongs to others. So I don't belong, I belong to you, you belong to me. And how do we do this? It's a community. It's this, right? And if I just step out of my notes, I would not be here doing this if it would not be because of people around me that encourage me. When I was depressed and I'm dealing with depression, believed in me. When I felt not up to par to do what I'm called to do, where I say, I feel like a two of spade. And this is a French expression. When it comes to a deck of card, the two of spade is the worst card. It's the bottom of the bottom. And I feel like that. You may feel like that. And people are saying, hey, I believe in you. I can see God through you. Like, the body makes us function. We are part of a fellowship. It's way more than a place we attend. It's us doing life together. And the call that God has for the church in the last days, it's to realize the need to be together and to be aligned when it comes to his will. So we belong to each other and we form one body. So, and Paul talks about you can't be an eye on your own. You would be considered a monster, right? A rolling eye or... I don't know, I just got this mental picture. Probably be worse in the third service because I'll be more crazy when it comes to, in relation to fatigue. But hey, you're a body. Different roles, different parts, but we're one body. And we got to remember that's the church, right? It says in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5, listen to this. You also, like living stones, it doesn't say... stone, when it says you also, he's not talking to an individual. He's talking to, it's in plural. You also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood. So I'm a stone. You're a stone. Connected. We build a house called the habitation of God. So we understand that I'm the temple of the Holy Spirit as a person. And we get that. And sometimes we master this and we master this. We put an emphasis on that I'm the temple of the Holy Spirit is so true. But to a higher level, we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. We can do way more to fulfill our calling. I can't fulfill my calling without you, and you can't fulfill your calling without the body. So there is this presence of God that dwells in me, but there's also the reality and the manifest presence of God when we are here, two or three gathered in his name, when we worship the Lord together, when we storm heaven with our prayers together, something happens to another level. And we find that in Scripture. And it's so important for us to see that we are living stones being built into a spiritual house. Not a building, but a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood. So it's not one priest. a holy priesthood, all of us, giving praise, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. So that's the church. You can't do this on your own. You can't be a priest on your own. You can't be a stone on your own. We are stones making God's habitation. And look what it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16. Don't you realize that all of you together, can you say to your neighbor, together? You see, the emphasis on plural, we focus a lot on individual, on me, my life, my journey, my testimony, my walk. Here it says, don't you realize that all of you together are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God lives in you? So you see, as we are a church, as we are walking according to the word of the apostles and we follow the Apostle Creed and we live a life according to his word in regard of morality, in regard of principles and all that, we are God's habitation together. It's pretty amazing, right? And so when we create this room for God to move, he can do so much because of you, because of your gifts, because of your calling, because of your journey. Imagine if we would all be released. It would be crazy what would happen through this house. It would be unreal. It would be unreal as we see ourselves as the temple, not just see myself as the temple. We find different images for the church in the New Testament that we are the flock of God. If you are a goose flying, we don't want them to fly south, right? We want them to stay north, geese, stay north. But if you see a goose fly alone, do you say, oh, this beautiful flock? you see that stupid bird flying alone. You see one bird flying south, you would say, good luck. Wouldn't you? Like, join a flock. Come on, break the wind. Be encouraged by the honk, 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 right? It's nature is like that. It's the same thing with us. We were created to be in community. Yeah, to have fellowship, absolutely. And we'll talk more about that in the next weeks. But there's a calling on the us. Like, we are the flock of God. We are a holy nation, not a holy individual, it says. Yes, we are in Jesus, but a holy nation. We are branches connected to the vine, not a single branch, but branches. We are a family of God. You can't be a family alone. That's an orphan. We're not orphans. We were grafted to the tree. We are part of a family. So it focuses on togetherness. It focuses on us as a church way more than a place we attend, way more than a service. It's way bigger than that. And I think to some degree, the Western church has lost that. Would you agree? Kind of lost that. We don't feel that we have anything to give. And sometimes we got hurt. And for whatever reason, sometimes we stay disconnected and we stay at a distance. And we don't realize that this is so important. This, what we do here is a huddle, but the local church is so important. The word church in the Greek is ecclesia. It means the called out ones, or a gathering of those called out. In ancient Greece, the word ecclesia was used to refer to an assembly, a gathering of people for a specific purpose, often in a political context. And so the church adopted this word, church, ecclesia, because they were called out from the world, called out to live like the world, and they were called to gather together with a specific purpose of what? Making disciples of every nation, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, Holy Spirit, teaching them the virtues, the words of Christ, and the teaching from Scripture. That's what we're called to do, right? The main call that the apostle had, or when he walked on earth, was to plant churches and lay foundations to local churches. You see, Paul said to Timothy, as Paul is fulfilling his mission of church planting, he says to Titus, like, there's three epistles we call pastoral epistles. 1st, 2nd Timothy, and Titus. They were written to pastors that pastored churches. If someone doesn't believe in the churches or in the church, then you got to remove these three books because they were focused on the local church, not on the universal church. Like, it's the beauty of the universal church is that I can walk with other pastors, churches can walk with other churches and fulfill the mandate of the calling. But there was never an instance in God's idea that we would do church on our own. You know, no. I think that's the plan of the devil. It's to kill, steal, and destroy, and to separate us and cause us to live on our own and do our own things. It's a lot easier, right? To live on our own. I was going to see the Mennonite joke or the French joke, the guy that is found himself on an island, right? You know the story, right? Where they come and rescue him, and they wanted to know how come there was a few other buildings. It was because that was his former churches that he left. He was living alone. Maybe not. It was not in my notes, so that's not my fault. Okay. But you look in Titus chapter 1, verse 5. It says Paul is doing church planting and he's raising up leaders. And he says, for the reason I left you in Crete, talking to Titus, was that you might strengthen out what is left unfinished and appoint elders in every town as I directed you. You appoint elders for what? If there's no local churches, why do you appoint elders? Well, it was organized. There was a group of people, and there was leadership, accountability. There was this leadership, this people growing together. It was organized. So that's why you have overseers. In Acts chapter 2, verse 42, look what it says when the church began. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together, and they had everything in common, selling their possession and goods, and they gave to everyone as he had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple's court. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere heart. And praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people, and the Lord added to their numbers daily those who were being saved. Why would the Lord add daily to their numbers if they were not a church? They were added to the church that was already there. And you can see that the church was active. They were doing stuff together. It was not just abstract. It was really a body of believers functioning together, feeding off each other, meeting the need of the widows and the situation that they were dealing with. But they were together. That's the church. In Acts chapter 20, verse 28, we see the mandate to leaders, to elders. It says, keep watch over yourselves, watch over your own life, because if you don't, it will affect others if you walk in sin. And we've seen a lot of that with spiritual leaders in our nations, right? Where there's a loss of keep watch over yourselves. So that's the first mandate. And it says, in all the flock, of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseer. So it's the Holy Spirit that caused these elders to watch over the flock. And again, it's a flock. It's a group. It's a church. And he says, be shepherd of the church of God. So what is the church of God? Local churches, units. It's this here. And it's like other local churches. So be shepherd of the church of God, which he bought with his own blood. So take this seriously, and you see here that Jesus bought the church with his own blood. So it's way more than me. It involves me, but it's us, you see? It's way more than just attending. It's way more than just a service. And this is the dream. It's to see an audience become an army. And I believe this is what God wants to do in our church. He wants to raise up this audience to become an army and to realize that the church is alive and that God wants to work through it. You find Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25. Let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. The day is approaching, like I said, a funnel approach. And now the church, less people attend regularly. The opposite should happen. Listen, I look at the next generation. We have over 500 kids that come under this roof in a week. That's a lot of kids. And we have so many that are toddlers. And so we have this mandate because TikTok won't do it. Social media won't do it. What you hear in society won't cause them to be disciples. You know who will? We. God has placed this mandate on the local church to make disciples. That's me and you. So it's more than just an individual walk or living my own Christian walk. It's living it together and give it to the next generation and investing in others. That's the mandate of the church. And that's what made the church be where it is today. If it would not be from others in the previous generation investing, we wouldn't be here today. Right? So it's important for us to see that. I look at what Paul said to Timothy in chapter 3:14 of his first letter. He says, I'm writing these things to you now, even though I hope to be with you soon, so that if I am delayed, you will know how people must conduct themselves in the household of God. So what do you think is the household of God? It's the local church. And how we're called to conduct is how, if I'm not connecting with you, you don't have a clue how I'm living my life, right? You don't have a clue. And so when you connect with other people and you're doing life together as a church, then you know, well, this person is walking in sin or this and that. There's accountability, right? So it's Paul says to Timothy, so your call, I'll read verse 15, so that if I'm delayed, you will know how people must conduct themselves in the household of God. And look how he sees the local church. That's Paul. He says, this is the church of the living God. This is the church of the living God. And he says, which is the pillar and the foundation. And the language talks about protector of the truth. That's one of the mandate of the church. It's to protect the truth, to walk in the orthodoxy, to follow the principle of God's word. But this is where we are. We find in the book of Revelation, Jesus walking among seven real churches that existed in chapter 2 and chapter 3. And he's there, and he challenges, and he encourages, he speaks truth to them, but he's walking in the church. And it was local churches, not abstract. And I believe he's walking in GMC. And I want to hear what he has to say. Well, what do you want us to change? What do we have to repent? Or what is our calling that you have placed on our lives? And so we want to see the church as being the church. What is our dream? What's the dream for Gospel Mission Church? It's to see a whole church come alive to God in his kingdom. That's the dream. All that we do, all the tracks that we have, from Ladies Morning to the Empower, to the Hearing God Seminar, to Youth, Junior Youth, and there's so many things that we do. Why? It's because we want people to come alive to God and come alive to his kingdom. We want to see disciples being made. We want to see an audience become an army. So what does it mean to come alive to God? It's to experience his grace and salvation that people would come to know Jesus, and prodigals that would return home. It's to taste and see that the Lord is good. It's to meet Jesus personally. I was talking to a pastor friend that I've been mentoring for the last few years, and he was saying that this fall he expects to see a breakthrough in his church. And he gave me this picture, and he had tears in his face. He says, I feel my congregation is like this. You have a celebrity that is in a movie star that is in the room, and they are there. They look at him, they acknowledge him, but they don't know him. And he says, I feel that my congregation is like that with Jesus. They see him, they acknowledge him, but they've never met him. And he was just weeping. He was saying, I need to see my people connect with Jesus for reals in a personal way. See? That's what we want to see. We just don't want to hear about Jesus and know about facts about Jesus. We want to have supper with him. We want him to encounter our lives. We want to taste and see, meet with Jesus. It's knowing him and to be encountered by him. So important. It's to experience his presence through prayer and worship. It's to be embraced by the Father's love and to know how much we care in his eyes. It's to experience this healing and restoration in my inner man when it comes to wounds and hurts of life and bring me freedom. It's to experience transformation where we are changed by Him, by the work of the Holy Spirit. It's to experience His empowerment and being filled with the Holy Spirit, flowing in the gifts, able to hear His voice. It's to see His word come alive in my hearts and to hear His voice. It's to walk with Him, abide in Him. It's to be convicted and moved by Him to have a tender heart. It's when godliness and holiness matters. It's to see Him as a functional Lord, not a figurehead. A functional Lord where He controls my life, where I fulfill Ephesians 1:12, to live for the praise of His glory. And so what we want is to see all of you come alive to God. And our dream is to see all of us come alive to, I should rephrase this, our dream is to see all of us come alive to God and to see us all come alive to His kingdom. And what is to come alive to His kingdom? It's to live with purpose. It's to live beyond myself. It's to understand my calling, that I am the salt and the light of the world. That I'm the salt. If there's no light, if there's no salt, this world is lost. So I am the salt and the light. That I'm called to serve others and minister to others. It's when we are compelled by His love to make a difference. When we partner with others in unity through the local church and churches. It's when we give generously of ourselves and of our resources. We invest financially. When we step out in faith and obedience beyond our comfort zone. When we respond to God's calling and mission. And there's not a lot of that today. Nobody wants to go. To church planting today, it's a mission call. And it's to be influenced by eternity. Three things that we want to see in GMC as I wrap up. You want to give the circle? I'd like to teach that at the partnership class. What we want to be as a church is that we want to honor the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We are Trinitarian. And so what we want is to experience, we want people, first of all, we want to experience God's love. We want to know the heart of God. It's about reconciliation. And that's why He sent His Son. But we also want to be involved in mission. And mission is my next door. We'll talk more about more than next week. But mission is responding to God and give the same love I've received. Like freely you receive, freely give. So we want to have social justice. We want to care for the broken. We want to see the Father's love. At the same time is that we want Jesus. We want His example. We want Him being the Word of God. And we want to follow Him. We want to live a life that honors Him. And if we want to reach the world with the Father's love, we want to have credibility, and that is how we live for Jesus. But at the same time, I cannot be on the mission and be effective if I'm not empowered by the Holy Spirit. I need the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. I need the fruit of the Holy Spirit. I need to be filled, empowered with the gifts. And so when I'm empowered by the Holy Spirit, I can walk a life that honors Jesus. I can reach the nation. And I can be an ambassador in His name. If I only focus on one point, I will not be effective. If I only have the Holy Spirit, then it's going to be all about me. But I want to be moved by the Holy Spirit with the Father's love to reach this world. And how? By being an example and be like Jesus. So that's what we want to see in GMC. We want to grow in the Holy Spirit. We want to grow in the love of the Father in mission. And we want to grow where we're more and more like Jesus. And that we follow Jesus. And Jesus is the one that we want and we want to look like. When people look at us, we want them to see Jesus. So my prayer this morning is, I don't know where you are on this journey, but God has called you to a local church. And God has called you to commit to a local church. God has called you to be part of this platoon. God has called you to be part of this symphony. And that's the heart of God. When you look at scriptures, and I did so many cuts for this morning, because when you look at scripture, when it comes to believers, there's a strong emphasis on us, actually more than individually, there's a bigger focus on us than I. So if you're here this morning and you walked away from the church because you got hurt, come on, let Jesus in. because there's a spiritual battle going over your life because the enemy doesn't want you to plug in. And maybe you're here this morning, you say, I have nothing to offer. Welcome to the club. That would be funny. God laughs over that. He says, yeah, I just want availability. And I will flow through you. I will equip you. It's all about that. Well, you know, I don't have time. Make time. Because it's all about that. We'll have to give an account when it comes to life on how we function as members of a body, and that is the church. I would ask you to stand. Father, you're so amazing, and you gave us this awesome plan from the get-go, the church. You created this ecclesia, this people that came out of the world, but not to live individually and on our own, but to be connected, living together, and fulfilling the mandate of making disciples. Father, I just pray that we would be your army, that we would be a people that would see the local church more than a place we attend, that we would see the local church more than a service, but that we would see the local church as us connecting, living together, and moving forward to see your banner be planted in places that have never been planted or planted in areas where they removed it. Father, we want to respond to your call. I pray for the work of your Holy Spirit this morning. If you're hurt regarding the local church or you're afraid to commit, I invite you to have this dialogue with God and say, God, I give you my heart, I give you my hurts. And God, I give you my fears. I give you my life. It starts with that. And then respond and take a step of faith and know that it's good because that's the heart and the plan of Father God. Amen.
Thanks for listening. If there's anything we can do to help you along in your journey, email prayer@gmchurch.ca. If you'd like to see what's coming up at Gospel Mission Church or learn more about us, visit gmchurch.ca.